I don't know. If it's lacking, I really don't care. You know? So can anybody explain this to me? Maybe one of, you know, our young people here? Anybody? Claire, what's with that? I agree. But am I right? It's kind of this thing that seems to be sweeping all over the place. Like, come on. Come on. So, I've got a speculation about this, and I don't know, I might be onto something, I might not. But there are so many people that are living half-filled lives that they're only really half alive themselves. And so if they focus on something that stimulates their imagination, it makes them feel somehow or another more alive. And that's a sad commentary, and I don't know whether I'm onto anything or not, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Now, 2 weeks ago, I started talking to you from the 10th chapter of John. And then last week, of course, we stepped aside for Thanksgiving. But I will remind you why John wrote his gospel. John wrote his gospel that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life, underline it, life, in His name. Life in His name. It is such a high priority in this gospel that life in His name is emphasized 42 times. So if something is emphasized 42 times, it means, you know, we need to pay attention to it. We need to really listen to what this is all about. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at John 10:4, when He brought all out His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. They know His voice. So, if we make a claim that we're followers of Jesus, then there better be some forward movement that substantiates our claim. Is that reasonable? If I make a claim, there has to be something that substantiates that claim. Or all I'm doing is making noise. It isn't good enough to simply come to church or go through the motions. A follower of Christ is on the move. Your life will be different and better than it was yesterday or last week or last year. You aren't content to leave things just the way they were. Doing, as I referred to a couple of weeks ago, the same old, same old. There's got to be something more to it. Because if we're stuck in, and as a matter of fact, when the girls were practicing the other night, we talked about a rut. Remember that? Okay, so what is a rut? Do you remember? What's the difference between a rut and a grave? Yeah, grave is deeper. Grave is deeper. There's got to be something more. We cannot afford to get stuck. That's what life is about. That's what abundant life is about that Jesus offers us. If we aren't moving forward, there should be red flags that go up. Something's wrong. There should be those moments, those times of when we get up, or for me it's when I get up, in the quiet of the morning. I look forward to spending some time with Jesus. Now that works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. But that works for me. But there should be a time in your daily routine when you look forward to spending time with Him. Just spending time taking in His Word, listening to His voice, speaking to Him in your mind. I don't always audibly pray. As a matter of fact, most of the time I don't audibly pray. But I'm in communion and I'm listening. And hopefully I'm paying attention. And if for some reason life gets away on me, which it does from time to time, and I look back and I think, I didn't have that special time today. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with me because I missed something really precious. As a follower of Christ, I really believe I should not be content to leave things as they are. My life, my world. There's got to be change. Jesus has given each of us the responsibility of sharing the good news of this gospel with a world that desperately needs to hear it, with a world that is lost without it. And when we follow Him, that becomes our mission. That's who we are. At the very start of this series, John said, through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. This morning, I want to continue on the theme of life and ask this question: are you experiencing it in its fullness, or are you simply going through the motions? So let's take a look at John 10, starting at verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be saved. He who will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the sheep attack the flock and scatters it. I'm sorry, then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one comes to me. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Excuse me. Now, before I get into this very deep, there's two side issues that I want to clear up, or at least address. Jesus said in verse 8, all whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Before Jesus appeared, there were a lot of other messiahs or pseudo-messiahs that came about. And we see them today as well. We see false messiahs who claim they are God's chosen. History has proven over and over again that they were only interested in what they could gain for themselves. Jesus is very clear on what the test of a shepherd is. A shepherd is one who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And I think for those of you, I think of Keith in particular, okay, who has livestock. And I think I know him well enough now that if he knows that there's something coming after one of his livestock, it's in a lot more trouble than the livestock. Am I right, Keith? Yeah, like if a wolf or whatever the animal is, it's not going to get that member of the herd or whatever without a fight, as long as he knows about it. So the measure of a shepherd, of the true shepherd, is the one who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Secondly, in verse 16 he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, Jesus is not talking about another whole religion that if you believe with all your heart, if you believe enough, then God is going to accept you. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Remember, he's talking to a Jewish audience. And this group of Jews believed that they were the elite, that they were God's chosen, that there was, to the exclusion of everyone else, they are in. And Jesus was determined to bring you and me in as part of this flock. And that's what he's talking about. His mission was the redemption of a lost world under one shepherd. When he claimed other sheep, he is talking about us. We're adopted. We're adopted into the flock by the blood of the Lamb who laid down his life, who we just remembered. Let's take a step back and look at verse 10 this morning. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to its full. Contrast. Destruction versus life. Only to kill and destroy, I'm come that you might have life. In order to understand the life that we have in Christ, we need to really understand what we're being saved from. We're being saved from destruction. And destruction doesn't necessarily need to look like a nuclear annihilation. Sometimes it's a lot more subtle, more sinister. It's simply going through the motions of life without tasting the goodness of God. That is destruction. The thing we have to realize is that our life in Christ is not about us, but it's about Christ living and working through us. It's about Christ in me, my hope of glory. It's a matter of living each day fully alive. So many people are willing to settle for less than God intends them to have. You know, there is, I'm in by the skin of my teeth. That's good enough for me. That is an expression you guys use out here, skin of your teeth, isn't it? Yeah, okay. I don't know how everything translates these days, so. But living each day fully alive. Are you living fully alive? Life in its fullness. And life in its fullness is not just about heaven. It includes eternity, but it's not just about heaven. Life in its fullness is how we live in the here and now. It's about being willing to take risks and watching God work in you. Are we a risky people? Do we live dangerously? Are there times that we're on the edge and we're not really sure? It's those times when we have to really rely on the Holy Spirit to help me. God has intention for us. St. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. There's a restlessness within the heart of every man, woman, and child. There's something that is not satisfied. All the trappings of the world, all that the world has to offer, all the longings, there's something within inside of us that says, I was created for more. And until I find the completion that God has for me, until I'm engaged in that soul satisfaction of what He has for me, I will continue to be restless. He has prepared things for us to do. We are all unique. Every one of us is unique. And when Jesus said, you will find abundant life in Him, this is where my will must be submitted to His will. And when my will is submitted to Him, when I am engaged in His intention for my life, things change. It's no longer the same. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, this is what abundant life is all about. Life in Christ cannot coexist with my old life. It can't. There has to be a change. There has to be evidence that takes place. And our old selves have to get out of the way. That's what Paul's talking about. I have been crucified. I have died to my old self. I no longer live the same way. Paul is talking about the very physical act, the very critical, the act of crucifixion. Putting the old self to death, starting over again, Christ taking control of who we are, living under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what this abundant life is like? Are you living it to the full? Or are you going through the motions? And it's not something that we can do on my own. I can't do this on my own. I have to submit to Christ. I have to receive the life that He offers. I have to allow His Holy Spirit to give direction to who I am and to my life. Paul wrote in Colossians, I have become its servant, the body of Christ as the church, by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. No longer the same. The living Christ indwelling me. It seems impossible, but that same Christ that was 2,000 years ago, that was even before that, that was in the beginning, He now wants to exist and indwell His people. And it's a matter of me being crucified and getting out of the way so that He can take charge of who I am. When Christ indwells us, when He takes control and we are under the control of Him, life takes on new meaning and purpose. That is our hope. That is our passion. That is our motivation. And that is our life. Do you know the fullness of the life that God offers? Do you know the fullness of living under His control? Paul says in Philippians, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We no longer think the same way the world thinks. Most of the world measures success in the way you accumulate, in the excessiveness of life, in its abundance. And you know, just even looking at that, my mind starts to default to the American election right now. And I'm not going to make a great big political statement. But I don't understand the church. I don't understand the endorsements of the church, and I'm so confused by this election, it's not funny. But the thing that really troubles me is, it just seems to me that the church is embracing success in ways that we shouldn't be embracing success. And that troubles me. It really does. We can't afford to let the world creep into who we are. The world measures success in the way we accumulate, in the excessiveness of life, or in the abundance of life, of all the stuff. People actually believe that he who dies with the most toys wins. For the one who's truly following Christ, who finds life in Him, there's a witness that instead of he who dies with the most toys wins, it's he who dies in Christ never dies. And that's success. That's living life in its fullness. Toys are fun. Now, don't get me wrong. Toys are fun. They really are. And I know that we all, go out to Carrie's place. You'll see lots of toys. But I also know this man, and I know the priorities of his life. And it's not in the accumulation of toys, even though they're fun. They're not the means. They are not the source. As a matter of fact, sometimes, for so many, and again, I point to the American election, the toys are an indicator of spiritual failure. Because in the accumulation, there's never enough. We need more. Paul wrote again in Philippians, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, putting my old self to death, being changed, being transformed, putting my old self to death, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Are we grabbing hold of that? Do you know the fullness of life that's found in Him alone? Or are you going through the motions? Life in its abundance. No longer being stuff-driven. When we're under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, when we are found in Him, when He is in us, then we can testify with the Apostle Paul, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, consider this. With all the motivations of life, are you experiencing the fullness of life? Are you experiencing what Jesus has offered us? Are you experiencing the life that the Apostle John wrote about? Are you still trying to find your own source of fulfillment? That's basically what it comes down to. The sad commentary is you're never going to arrive there. You're not. Until you surrender your will to His will. Until you give Him full control. And I know that that's sometimes a really hard step. And sometimes God allows us to just surrender a little bit at a time and surrender a little more and surrender a little more. But the choice is always ours. Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know the power of His resurrection? Do you want to know the abundance of life that He offers? Today, I want to give you an opportunity to know Him. I want to give you an opportunity to maybe draw a line in the sand and say today, I really want to know what this life is all about. And you know, as the girls come up and lead us in this final chorus, if God is speaking to you, in all probability, there's one of two things that are happening right now in your life, or in your mind. Number one, there is a voice inside of you that's saying, come to me. Come to me. Give this all to me. And at the same time, there's another voice that's saying, you know, he's going to shut up in a few minutes so you can get out of here. And don't listen to that other voice. Now, you've got a choice to make. If God is speaking to you, and I'm not saying that he's speaking to all of you, but he may be speaking to some, which voice are you going to listen to? Which voice? The choice is yours. Girls, why don't you come on up, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing. And this doesn't have to be a spectacular, but I would invite you to come, because the Word tells us that if we confess before men, so if we come forward, there's an act of confession. There's an act of witness. I invite you to do that. Would you just bow with me in prayer? Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to indwell your people, that you will speak to us loud and clear. And Father, if you are calling someone to yourself, we renounce that other voice in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that there will be those who need to know you and the life that you offer. Lord, give them the courage to step out and just pray a prayer of confession and surrender before you today. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your eyes to heaven.
You know, I know that we are family. We know each other really well. And I know that it takes a lot of courage to step out, especially among a group of people that you're kind of thinking, well, they think I've got it all together. And deep down inside, I don't. I realize that. I'm perfectly aware of that. But right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I want to pray. And if God is speaking to you, I'm not going to. This is just between you and Him and me, so that I can pray in a way that does not in any way call you out. But I'd like to pray for you. Can you just bow your heads? And if anybody would like just me to pray for them, would you just slip your hand up? Anybody? Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you know every hand, you know every heart, you know every challenge that's being faced. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak into the lives of these dear people. You also know, Lord, the ones who wanted to even slip their hand up, and yet it was just so hard. Father, I pray that at some point today, Lord, they will just take a few moments and listen to your voice. Father, that they will just lean more heavily into you than they are right now. And Father, there will be such an overwhelming sense of surrender to your throne. Father, you are a great God. You love us so much. Father, you are full of mercy and grace. Oh God, I pray that you will just continue to work in all of us, that our lives might be a reflection of Christ. Father, help us to die to our old selves. Those things that we deal with. Oh God, I pray that you will just continually, layer by layer, take them away. Father, go before us. Make us pure, make us holy, make us righteous in your sight. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, and Lord Jesus, bless our time of fellowship. The lunch has been prepared. Father, I thank you for this church and the great things that you're doing with us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.